Hey everybody, Elizabeth here. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to make sure that you know registration is currently open for our Spring Strong Foundations cohort. Strong Foundations is a 5-week strength building program brought to you by me and Morgan Bungers. Coach Morgan Bungers is one of the best, most effective strength training coaches in this country. He has worked with some of the most elite athletes in the world, and now he specializes working with people in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s who want everyday strength. And this is not about being able to push your suitcase into the overhead compartment on an airplane. We need to be consistently and effectively strength training if we want to maintain the strength of our immune system. Muscle is a critical part of our immune system, and if we are not actively maintaining our strength, we are losing it as we age, and that means we are losing the strength of our immune system. It's also a significant component of our overall metabolism, especially our carbohydrate metabolism. Muscle mass plays a huge role in energy, in mood, mental health, bone health, so many different things. This is just not optional, but a lot of us don't do it because we aren't sure what to do. We aren't sure what not to do. We aren't sure if we're moving well. We don't know how to accommodate for our physical limitations or our current level of fitness, and that is why you need a coach, and you'd be hard-pressed to find one better than Morgan Bungers. Now, here's the thing about fitness programs. I've experienced this. My mom, who's in her 70s, has experienced this, where you buy a fitness program and then you're like, okay, but I can't do that workout because I'm not fit enough, or I don't have enough balance, or I don't have that equipment, or that hurts my knees, or it hurts my back. And then you're sort of just left to figure it out yourself, which means we often don't do anything. The great thing about Strong Foundations is that Morgan and I are part of it every single day, and you have an unlimited ability to ask us questions in a group setting or via direct message so that Morgan can help you scale for you, for whatever equipment you have, for the time that you have, for your fitness level, for your body and your physical limitations. 5 weeks. There's two different tiers. There's a beginner intermediate tier. There's an intermediate advanced tier. The testimonials that we have received from our previous clients will blow your mind. You can check them out and also register for your spot by going to primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. If you are an alum, if you have been through Strong Foundations before, I've already emailed you a renewal link with a special renewal rate. So please use that. If you don't see that email, let me know. For the rest of you, primalpotential.com/strongfoundation. We start on May 13th. So grab your spot now. You will have these workouts for life. 4 workouts a week for 5 weeks, 2 different tiers. So you've got 40 workouts total. Plus, there is a 5-part series on your pelvic floor. That is an incredibly important part of your physical fitness, of your strength, of your core strength, of your overall health, of your ability to maintain functional mobility as you get older. We want you to be a part of this. You will not regret joining the Strong Foundations cohort. It is an incredible community. Everybody needs to be consistently and effectively strength training. And if you're not, it's probably because you don't know how to make it work for you. And it can be made to work for you. It needs to be made to work for you. primalpotential.com/strongfoundation to register now. Let's get into the episode.
This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and I've got a bonus episode for you today. I have been so eager to get this out. I actually recorded this before
Roman was born, and I'm just now getting the chance to sit down and put it together. And I listened to it again, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I hate that I couldn't get it to you sooner, but you are going to love this. This is a conversation, part of a conversation, between myself and Rory Vaden. If you have not heard the name, and maybe you have, Rory Vaden is a New York Times bestselling author. He's got books like Take the Stairs, 7 Steps to Achieving True Success. Also, one of my favorites, Procrastinate on Purpose. 5 permissions to multiply your time. That is something we're going to be talking about today. But the reason that I had this conversation with Rory is because I was in a mastermind with Chris Harder. I was in his elite level mastermind a year ago for 2 years. So I started 2 years ago, not doing it this year just because of travel with new baby. But Rory spoke to Chris Harder's mastermind when I was in it. And when I was looking to do some work on my own business, I worked with Rory's team and came across the opportunity to have him share on this podcast. And oh my gosh, there's just so much here that you're going to love. One of the things we talk about is how time is worth way more than money. And yet most of us really aren't super great with using our time to the fullest. Sometimes we're totally crushing it, but I think a lot of us have, I certainly can speak for myself here and for the clients that I work with, a lot of room for improvement in terms of how we use our time. And one of the things that Rory says in this episode that I love is that successful people are willing to exchange money for time. This was tricky for me because I've always been very frugal, and I would think like, oh, I can do it myself, especially when it comes to work, but also with home stuff. Like, oh, I don't want to pay for somebody to do that when I can do it myself. But time is so much more valuable than money. In fact, speaking of Chris Harder, he shared something a few weeks ago on social media, and he calls it like the great paradox. And the paradox is that people are like so reluctant to spend money, even though you can make more, but they're not nearly as stingy with their time, which they're willing to waste, and yet you can't make more time. If I blow 10 grand, I can earn that again. I can make that back. But if I blow an hour or 5 hours sitting watching television, I don't get that time back. So Rory talks about how successful people are willing to exchange their money for time. And he talks about how one of the best ways to use our money is to spend it to get time back, right? And this is going to make a whole lot more sense when you listen to it. Rory Vaden has a really, really great TED Talk all about this, all about procrastinating on purpose and really multiplying your time. So I will link to ways you can connect with Rory. Also, Rory has a really powerful brand building company, but it's not just for people who have personal brands. He works with people who want to excel and get promoted in their careers, people who want to get started in business, and they do free strategy calls. He'll talk more about that so you can kind of see if that's right for you. But if you want to book a free strategy call with his team, just go to freebrandcall.com/Elizabeth Benton. Then he'll know that you're coming to him through me and you'll be eligible for one of those free calls. Free strategy call by going to freebrandcall.com/Elizabeth Benton. I can't wait for you to hear this episode because talking about time and money are two of my favorite things. So with that, let's get into the show and check the show description for all these links and to learn more about Rory. Super grateful to Rory for being so generous with his time and also just for sharing. You can tell he's so passionate about this, and I know everybody is going to get something out of it. So thanks to Rory for that. Let's dive into the conversation. My experience working with primarily women, they feel like because it's possible to do it on their own, they should do it on their own. Like having help is not necessary or is frowned upon, because if it can be done on your own through just like sheer determination and time, it should be. But one of the things that I've learned in the last few years that I wish I had learned a long, long time ago was the rate at which you can accelerate your growth and progress when you connect with people who can help. You and I got connected through a process of that for me, which was Chris Harder's mastermind. And that's how I came to know you. But do you see that as well, that people are hesitant to get help? Like, well, why would I ever work with somebody to help me, you know, move up the corporate ladder? Or why would I ever work with somebody to help me develop a side hustle when so many people have done it on their own? But I feel like it's one of those things that if there was any sort of like secret sauce to success, it is connecting with skilled, experienced people for help sooner. Like, if I had done that sooner, it's just such a game changer. And yet, I don't think I'm surprising anybody with saying that. And yet, I see a lot of resistance to it, to getting support and help.
Well, yeah, there's resistance to getting like professional help, like saying, like, you know, working with somebody like us, right, where we're going, hey, this is a skill set and a set of systems and processes we take people through and teach. But I see that also with stay-at-home moms, with like, they've got guilt and worry about hiring someone to clean the house.
Right.
Right. And so there's a lot of reasons emotionally, but, you know, this actually is funny. This question kind of points back to what, my TED talk. So this is more about what my personal brand, I built, was really around, overcoming procrastination and how to multiply time. Like, my TED talk was called How to Multiply Time, had millions of views. And we talked about the five ways to multiply time. And, you know, basically it's by spending time on things today that create more time in the future.
Which I love.
That's how you multiply time. So relationships are a multiplier. Relationships are an accelerant. They are things that make things happen faster.
Yeah.
Education is also an accelerant, right? Yeah. For you to figure out something on your own would take, I don't know, some amount of time, whether you're having to read all the books, go through the courses, or figure it, you know, stumble through and figure it out yourself.
Right.
When people engage, let's say us as an example, what they're getting is decades and of experience and hundreds of hours and research, right? Tens of thousands of dollars we were spending on research and working with clients and doing all this stuff. And they're getting it consolidated down into like a gift wrapped package.
Yeah.
That's true about anybody, right? It's like, yeah, you could do your own taxes. Yeah. How much time would you have to spend learning tax law and figuring out the forms and knowing all the rules?
How much money would you leave on the table?
So much more. Like, people say that time is money. Time is not money. Time is worth way more than money.
Yeah.
Time, like, money, you lose it, you can get it back. You cannot get time back. And one of the things that successful people do is they're willing to exchange their money for time. It is one of the single most consistent, most important habits of ultra performers. Is people like me, I was raised by a single mom. I grew up in a trailer. We did not have money. Like, my goal in life was to afford some Air Jordans, because growing up, all I had was Air Jordash, right? Like, I just wanted some, I wanted Air Jordans and I wanted boxed cereal. Like, that was what I wanted. And so, you know, to me, the idea of having money, because I came from a world of scarcity, once I, every little bit of money I got, I was trapped into like holding on to it as much as I could. And that's what happens, is we think, well, I have to hold on to this because it's all I've got. Yet what a multiplier realizes is they think of money as a tool, right? Money is a vehicle, just like a, you know, it's like a tool, like a shovel or a hammer. It helps you. It only helps you if you use it in the right way. And one of the best ways to use money is to get time back. Yeah. One of the best ways to use money is to get education, because when you go get education, you're condensing time.
Yeah.
Rather than you having to figure it out yourself, you're compressing that, and you're getting it from someone who has been there and done that. So I would say that's true about, you know, doing personal branding or business coaching or fitness coaching or working with someone to manage your money or anything.
Yeah.
Spend your money to get time and to get education.
I heard somebody say that whether we're talking about investing in a coach or we're talking about taking a course, it's not something that costs money. It's something that makes money, right? Mm-hmm. And you can come at it from either perspective. You can either look at something like that and go, oh, well, this is expensive. It costs a lot of money. What I have learned, you know, later in life than I wanted to is, no, it's not the money that it takes. It's the money that it makes. Because you are investing, like you said, in that expertise, you're investing in that support. And every single day I see people, whether it's people who are trying to start a side hustle, or it's people who are looking to advance in their career, or maybe start a new career or build a business, they give up because they're frustrated. And a large part of that is they don't have support.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the experience. They're trying to do everything themselves. And they're saying, well, it's because I can't afford to hire somebody to coach me or to mentor me or whatever. And my thought is, you can't afford not to. How much money are you leaving on the table? I think about the first couple years in business where I tried to do my own taxes and the money that I left on the table. Yes, it cost me money to have my taxes prepared by somebody else, for sure. My accountant, my CPA, my bookkeeper, they cost me money. But they make me more money than they cost me. And it's the same sort of thing, whether we're talking about building a personal brand or launching a book or anything like that, we have to start to make this shift around what is truly an investment, meaning there is a return greater than the initial input, and what's really an expenditure. So I love that so much. And it makes me wonder how many more people would succeed in whatever it is that they're trying to do, whatever goal they're trying to achieve, if they were willing to say, I've got to lock arms with somebody that's going to support me, you know,
mm-hmm.
Could we take the success rates for business owners, for people who are starting something new, for people who want a promotion, couldn't we send them through the roof? I mean, based on what you see and the people that you're working with, you've got to see that every day, that the rate of success is dramatically higher when they're locking arms with people and they have a team and they have support. It really becomes something that doesn't cost money. It makes money.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we actually call this, there's a term, we use the term significance calculation.
Okay.
So what the significance calculation is thinking long-term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absent the significance calculation, you're living in a world of urgency, which is just here and now, right? And so our brain is like, hey, you know, do I want to invest the whatever, $1,000, $5,000, $50,000? Like, and we go, no, I don't. Like, through the lens of today, it's like it's only a loss. But when you make the significance calculation, you're thinking about the long term, tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And let's do this. Let me give you an illustration of this principle using time rather than money, because people get weird about money and, you know, there's like this emotional attachments we have, but
totally. I see it every day.
So in my second book, Procrastinate on Purpose, Five Permissions to Multiply Time, this is out of there. So that was a discussion about how to create more time. And we talk about something called the 30X rule.
Okay.
So the 30X rule suggests that you should consider or be willing to spend 30 times the amount of time it takes you to do a task on training someone else to do the task for you.
Mm.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So let's say that you have a task that takes you 5 minutes a day to complete.
Yep.
Okay. What we're saying with the 30X rule is that instead of spending the 5 minutes a day to do the task, you should spend 150 minutes training someone to do the task. So 30X, 30 times yep. 5 is 150.
Yep.
And people, we literally lose so many people because they go, Rory, that is so dumb. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I trade 150 minutes? That's 2.5 hours. Why would I give up 2.5 hours of time to save myself 5 minutes? And the answer is you never would unless you make the significance calculation. It never makes sense to trade 150 minutes for five inside of one day.
Right.
But if you think longer term and you go, okay, it's not 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes a day.
A day. Yeah.
So if I think about tomorrow and the next day, if in fact, if you take it out 1 year, there's about 250 working days in a year. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say it was like a businessy task or a work-related task or something. You know, if I spend 5 minutes on it once and I have to do it 250 times, that means over the course of just 1 year, not 5 years, not 10 years, not 20, just 1 year, that task is actually going to cost me 1,250 minutes.
Yeah.
So now the question looks different. The answer is just as obvious as it was before.
Sure.
But it's the complete opposite. It's not, should I trade 150 minutes to save five? It's should I trade 150 to save 1,250?
Sure.
And it's, and you go, oh, that makes sense. Because now the task hasn't changed. The person hasn't changed. All that has changed is the thinking of the individual. And this is something that we say all the time, is that the next level of results requires the next level of thinking.
Yep.
You have to think in a different way. So that illustration of time is exactly what you were saying about, Elizabeth, with investing into your own education.
Yeah.
Is you're going, yeah, I could spend 1,250 minutes. You could use hours, right? I could spend 1,250 hours learning how to do my own taxes.
Yeah.
So that I avoid, you know, spending 150, you know, hours or, you know, money, $150. You could use any currency here, paying someone else to do it.
Right.
And that's what's crazy is we go through these great lengths. We spend great amounts of time and money to save a little bit.
Sure.
And we're not willing to just invest.
Losing a lot.
And you were losing, we're losing so much. I mean, yeah. The tax one's a great example too, because it's like, not only did it, there's also an opportunity cost. So
yeah,
there is the opportunity cost of what could you have been doing with that time,
right?
If you weren't learning how to do your taxes,
right?
And that time could have been worth a lot.
Yep.
Like it could have been making money.
Yep.
Or it's not always a money thing. You know, I try to tell moms all the time, it's like, look, hiring someone to clean your house isn't about you being lazy or right. You not being a good mom. It's the opposite.
Yep.
Instead of spending the time cleaning the house, you're taking that time and you're spending it with your kids.
Yep.
Like, or you're with your family, or you're working on your side hustle, or you're volunteering at the school or the church, or like there's something else you're doing with that time. And for most moms, it's not sitting on the couch eating bonbons, watching Netflix.
Right.
It's like they're gonna do something else with that time. But we gotta sort of like think longer term about the impacts of those short-term investments.
Yeah, I tell my clients all the time that when we consider a broader time domain, it changes everything. I just had this conversation about the idea of restriction. If you think about eating nothing but whitefish and broccoli for 6 months, you might create a narrative that that's really restrictive. If you think about having whitefish and broccoli for dinner tonight, that's just like, you know, a good healthy choice. Time domain is everything. And for years, I resisted training somebody because I would say to myself, I can do it faster. You know, in the time it would take me to train somebody, I could have done it myself 10 times. But again, it's a time domain issue. I was thinking about doing it once, but it's not once. It's, you know, and in the case of my podcast at the time, it was like 3 times a week I would air an episode, and I was doing all of the like ID3 tagging and uploading and all of that because it only takes me a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a few minutes. Like, that's just crappy thinking. That's just low level thinking. It's a few minutes, 3 times a week, every week for 7 years.
It's massive.
That's a lot.
And, you know, when you look at things that multiply, right? Education multiplies.
Yeah.
It is a leverage point. It's like, I can do it wrong 100 times, or I can learn how to do it right and then do it once.
Yep.
Relationships are multipliers, right? Like if, here's a good example of the podcast, right? Like however many people listen to the show, it would take me some amount of time to try to get to them myself,
sure.
But one relationship with you,
right.
And here I am now in front of all these people. So that our relationship is multiplying.
And not only that, even before we hit record, I was telling you, you know, that we started a foundation for our daughter, and you have somebody on your team who started mm-hmm. a foundation who lost a child. And that connection only happened because I made an investment in my business that led to so many other connections, but including connecting with you, and then also including connecting with somebody else who has a foundation for a similar purpose.
Exactly. And y'all have similar foundations. Imagine what you can learn from each other.
Yeah.
You might be able to share resources.
Absolutely.
You might be able to share vendors, donors,
absolutely,
speakers, like, you know, or maybe it's just nothing other than, like you were saying, it's encouragement. It's like, yes, gosh, there's someone else out there,
totally,
who, you know,
has
went through what
similar,
I went through,
yeah,
and just, you know, following a similar path. That's super powerful. So here's the other thing. And we've kind of gone around on this. Okay. Education is a multiplier. Relationships are a multiplier. Guess what else is a massive multiplier?
Having
your reputation.
Yeah.
Reputation is a multiplier.
Yeah.
It trust is a multiplier. Like if someone has a reputation that precedes them, their reputation actually knocks down walls and barriers,
yeah,
right? Like if Oprah called any one of us, we'd all answer because,
yep,
of her reputation,
sure,
right? Even if we didn't know what it was for or why she needed it, her reputation would knock down the barrier of unavailability.
Right.
Reputation is a great multiplier. And so what you say about yourself, what you put out online, the things that you comment on, all of these are micro decisions that add up and tabulate to the digital summation of your reputation, of which a term that people use for it today is personal branding.
Now, your team, as I understand it, facilitates these kinds of conversations and brainstorming sessions and strategies with people like me, but also people who don't work for themselves and who just are trying to get to the next level of their side hustle or their job. Tell me a little bit about what people could do if they're wanting to take the next step. They understand the concept of multiplying. They're ready to step out of that fear factor, that comfort zone. What does that look like to connect with your team?
Yeah, well, I mean, the very first step, which is a very actionable, is we actually do a free strategy call with people the first time that we meet them, just to kind of like hear their story and understand like what are some of their goals, what are they trying to do, you know, yeah, where are they trying to kind of like grow their influence or grow their career or grow their impact. So if you go to freebrandcall.com/Elizabeth Benton, okay, freebrandcall.com/Elizabeth Benton, you can actually fill out a form and request a one-on-one call with somebody on our team, and they'll kind of talk through it with you, because it's different for everybody. And we've got all these different frameworks we take people through. But one of my favorite shortcuts, I guess, you know, we do one-on-one coaching. That's something that's very unique about us. We don't really do like a lot of online education. I mean, we have like live things, but it's really one-on-one coaching is really what we do. And so we constantly are training coaches, mm-hmm, about how to draw this out of people. And one of the things that we teach our coaches, which has since become almost like a shortcut for anybody trying to do this, whether it's with a coach or they're trying to do it by themselves, is to figure out like, you know, what do I want my personal brand to be about? Mm-hmm. Here's what we discovered. You are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were.
Mm-hmm.
All of us in all walks of life, whether it's for money or not, it's just for impact. All of us are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. So earlier when you asked me the question, I said, inherently it's going, how can you be useful?
Yeah.
Beyond making money or turning into this a business, which certainly if you're trying to do that, we're really good at that. And yeah, we've got a lot of experience doing that. But just making impact in the world,
yeah,
just having purpose to your life. This conversation is about that. Because one of the things that we have also realized is that if you do this right, it is connected to your purpose. It's not just how can I make money with a side hustle, or, you know, how can I get promoted, or how can I get a better title or a raise? It's really about connecting into the person's purpose, something we call their uniqueness.
Yeah.
And the uniqueness really matters because the Are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
You've seen
that before, right?
Self-actualization.
Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. Right. Okay. So food, shelter, and you know, belonging, all that stuff. At the top of that is self-actualization. I really think Maslow's hierarchy has been a valuable contribution to our society and our thinking, and particularly at the time that it came out. But I think Maslow was one rung short, because we have quite a lot of self-actualization. I mean, we have self-expression through social media. Like, we have, you know, a lot of different ways to kind of like, you know, express who we are. But in reality, what we have found is the only thing that seems to have like true sustaining power of fulfillment and joy is not self-actualization. It's others' actualization.
Contribution.
It is contribution. Where we derive everlasting meaning from our life, ironically, is not from our own life. Mm-hmm. It is from the interconnectivity of our life in and amongst and through other people.
Yeah.
And this is why stay-at-home moms, when their kids grow 18 and they leave the nest, there's this awful emotional transition that a lot of them go through, because they've been needed. They've been useful. There's been someone who has depended on them in such a deep way. And then literally in one day, it changes, and it's stark and it's sharp. Well, you know, kids are a special connection, but it's not just that they're kids. It's that we struggle to find purpose. Everyone's going, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? They're looking for the purpose. They're asking the wrong question. The question they should be asking is, how can I be useful? Mm. How can I help? Yeah. Who can I serve?
Yeah.
Those are the questions that you should ask that help you find purpose. And the hint there is, you're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. Whatever it is that you have been through. Like for me, my dream was to be an author and a speaker and an entrepreneur, and you know, to build an audience that I could impact. I know what that takes to do that journey. So that's why we started Brand Builder Group. Me and my wife. My wife is actually our CEO, and we were business partners in our former venture before. But like, we know what that feels like.
Yeah.
You started a foundation because you went through something so painful and traumatic that you go, the only way I can even get any sense of purpose out of this is to somehow help other people that are going through something similar.
Right.
That's extremely profound. It transcends reputation. It certainly transcends personal brand. You move in the direction of purpose, and what you should talk about is what you should be about. It is what your life is about, which is, how does your life intersect with others in a way that you are useful?
Yeah.
That's really the heart of this conversation.
I love that. And I think it gives so much clarity, because one of the things I hear the most is, you know, how do I figure out, I feel like I'm just aimless. I feel like I don't know what I want to go after in life. But when you remove yourself from the center of that story and you make it about other people, that is so powerful and so profound. And I am going to link up every way that people can connect with you and your TED Talk and your books, and also the free call that you offer for folks so that they can take advantage of that. I'll link all of that up in the show description. If you had a magic wand and you could leave our listeners with just like one certainty, one thing that you just want to implant in their minds, that people know this and they walk away with this clarity, what would you leave them with?
Mm. Yeah. Well, good. And I would say, hopefully we do get to meet you, right? So again, just, you know, if you go to freebrandcall.com/Elizabeth Benton, put the link there, you know, you can talk to us. But to your question, Elizabeth, the biggest thing that I think I would want to leave people with is that you only feel fear when you're thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You go, why would anyone listen to me? Why do I, you know, like, what do I have to say? Why does my life matter? Who am I to talk about this? Like, you know, we only feel fear when fear is very self-centered.
Yeah.
Right. It's not selfish. It's not that you're taking away something from other people per se. It's self-centered. It revolves around you. I'm not good enough. I'm not important enough. I don't have expertise.
People are going to judge me.
People are going to judge me. Me.
Yep.
And the reality is, what we believe is that if you feel some type of a calling on your heart to get a message out there into the world, we believe that the calling on your heart that you feel is actually the result of a signal that's being sent out by someone else.
That
it's more about them than it is about you. That calling that you feel, you process it because you feel it, but it is actually coming from someone else. That signal is being sent to you because there's somebody out there right now who needs you more than you need them. I mean, think about this. There literally could be somebody out there at this very moment who is begging and pleading and possibly on their hands and knees praying for answers to questions that you already have answered. Yeah. They could be looking for solutions to problems that you have already solved.
Yeah.
They're looking for ways to overcome obstacles that you have already been through.
Yeah.
And you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. And if you plug into that idea that person needs you more than you need them.
Yeah.
And you go in that direction, I think you'll find massive meaning and purpose and joy and fulfillment and satisfaction in your life that far transcends money and followers and all this other, you know, vanity kind of stuff.
That is amazing. I think that with that, you just electrified so many people and took away the thing that has been holding them back, which is that fear that has them squarely at the center of the story. So guys, check the show description for all of these links. I will have them there for you. Rory, thank you so much for your time, for your passion, and for the work that you're doing, because I know that it is going to continue to change lives and it's just going to have a ripple effect. And I'm so grateful we got to talk about it today.
Well, it's my pleasure, my friend. We'll stay in touch. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential Podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.